Hey everybody, welcome back to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. That's carlsoncast.com. Here's your hilarious but husky host, Vinny Paulino.
Alliteration.
See? Here's your hirsute but heartfelt co-host, Brian Ball. There's me, Ross Johnson. I'm sprightly and fun and throwing the papers around. Then there's Cam. He just shot you. And tonight, a special mystery guest, number 55. Step forward.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Another episode of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Thank you, Ross Johnson, for doing an adequate job with the introductions today.
New faces.
New faces. And I have some bad news. Nick died.
Yeah.
He didn't really die, no. Nick,
we wrote him off in the offseason.
We wrote him off in the offseason. Actually, bummer is our pal Nick. He got a new job. Doesn't have time to do the show anymore. We are going to miss him dearly. We love you, pal. Wish you nothing but the best. And sitting in for in his Nick's old chair, which is now Cam's chair. It's Cam Tiller.
Heyo.
How's your chair feeling?
It is still warm somehow.
Yeah. Sticky too, I bet.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to think about it.
All right.
We tried to get Idris Elba to replace him, but that didn't work out.
So. Yeah. He said something about just starting rumors. He spends all of his time starting rumors how he might be James Bond.
Yeah.
And he's too busy to do the show. Yeah. So, hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Some good stuff going on. I would like to thank the viewers and listeners from the very bottom of my fat pig heart. I would like to thank you all so much.
It's an actual pig heart. There was a transplant.
Yeah, it's in the drawer down here. No, I'm so thankful you guys nominated us for Best Local Podcast. Thank you.
Yay.
Rochester City Newspaper, we're nominated. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to beat you guys up for votes. But thank you. We're just honored to be nominated, and we just want to thank you guys for taking the time and putting our name in.
Except for if you don't vote for us.
In which case...
We'll know.
In which case, we will block you from ever watching this show again.
We'll know.
Yeah, that'll teach you, right? That's what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking. But I'll show you. I'll show you. We got a mystery guest, Bri.
Mystery.
Intrigue. I will tell you that I'm not going to even give you even a little bit of a clue.
Is it Colonel Mustard or whatever it is? I haven't played that game in a really long time.
Shut up with your old man references. I hate you.
It's cool. It's an app.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I'm sorry. I'm the problem here. Forgive me, everybody, for interrupting Brian doing Parker Brothers material. That's really good stuff, Brian. Thank you for being here today. It's always a pleasure to have you as my co-host.
I watched a great documentary this morning. That was it. I just wanted to say something else, old man.
All right, fine. What documentary did you watch this morning?
It was about the Bristol Blenheim bomber. I just was trying to say something more old manish. I didn't expect you to continue on with it. I was just trying to feed into your joke and sound old. And now you've made it weird.
Again, do you people see this? Like, I'm the problem. Like, I am the problem. I don't even know how to respond to you anymore. That's where I'm at. I can't even communicate with you.
That's why you keep me around. I'm full of surprises.
Full of something.
I'm full. Yep, yep.
So.
Surprises and Werther's.
God, I wish you were like a pinata. I wish I could just beat you with a bat and get a Werther's. It'd be great. So this is fun. I bet you're wondering why I'm wearing this fun purple shirt, why I am walking around the city of Rochester today inviting comparisons to the Grimace. I bet you're wondering, aren't you, Brian?
Tell us, Vinny.
Well, there's a very good reason. Cam, would you mind doing me a favor and showing the people my computer screen?
Of course.
Thank you, buddy. That's right. We're talking about the Alzheimer's Walk to End Alzheimer's. The Alzheimer's Association of Rochester is doing this amazing event. And here's what I am told I have to read. Hold on. I'm doing my read. I got to do this right. This is important.
Muy importante.
You know what? This is bad. I screwed up and closed the window. Okay. Here we go. You ready?
We're ready.
Yes.
More than 5 million Americans live with Alzheimer's and other dementia. More than 16 million family members and friends provide unpaid care. That's right. People are taking care of their loved ones. Thank you, Ross. Keep doing the music. That's the Jurassic Park theme. Join the fight, would you please? Let's fight a disease together. I usually don't walk myself. The only thing I fight off with walking is hunger when I walk to the fridge. But we are going to walk to end Alzheimer's October 20th at Frontier Field in Rochester. Now, if you're interested in registering to walk, it's a good time. You can bring the whole family with you. All you need to do is visit ALZ.org or call 1-800-272-3900. Together, we could raise awareness and funds to enhance Alzheimer's care and advance critical research.
It's a good cause. My mom has dementia, too. So.
And, Cam, didn't your grandmother just pass away?
Yes.
And I'm sorry to bring that up, buddy. You could go back to the actual show now.
Oh, no, it's no problem. But I, on a very real note, I've lost both my grandparents who raised me from when I was a kid to Alzheimer's. So it's very close to my heart. Very great cause. You know, one of the worst diseases that somebody can have. So it's very near and dear to my heart. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
And folks, I want to tell you because I also, hold on, I have more information. There are multiple walks happening. And that's the other thing that you could sign up for if you'd like to. There's a walk in Canandaigua coming up on October 6th. There's another one going on in the Southern Tier October 13th. And of course, the Rochester Walk at Frontier Field. So make sure you visit alls.org for more information. Back to our regularly scheduled programming.
All you got to do is walk around a little bit.
Yeah. That sounds rough.
A stroll.
I'm going to do it, though. You want to go?
Asking more for you.
You want to go?
More for you than for me.
You want to go walk?
When is it?
I just said it three times.
I know,
October 20th at the Frontier Field.
Oh, no, I'm out of town. I literally am. That sounds really terrible. My mother has dementia. I'm literally out of town.
Cam, you want to go with me?
Of course. I'll be there.
All right, pal. Let's plan on it. All right. So let's talk about some more things that you guys will find interesting. How about we take a second and talk about our great sponsors? Let's talk about our good friends at Laughable.com.
Woo!
Get the app. It's incredible. You can check out our show on there. But if you're into stand-up comedy, this is the app for you. If there's a comedian you like, say you're a big fan of our mystery guest. You could type in his name later when you know what it is into Laughable.com. And every podcast he's ever appeared on will show up right there on your phone to listen to.
You know, I will admit, I had not used that until we were on it, and now I've been using it, and it's pretty freaking cool.
It is pretty good. I also want to remind you all that Showmageddon 18 is happening.
Showmageddon!
You can check your local listings for that. Check us out on Facebook, Showmageddon 18, stand-up comedy showcase showdown, where comics are putting on awesome, independently produced, weirdo shows, some real different cool stuff. And they are being judged, and one of them is going to win their very own showcase in the Rickles Room quarterly for 2019.
Did we get the monster truck that breathes fire?
I can't say for sure.
No, great.
Sapori Cafe Catering. Let's talk about someplace delightful. It's located inside the Powers Building atrium. They also produce catering. So let me tell you something about their catering. They could do graduations, showers, weddings, birthdays, corporate events, backyard barbecues, and more. You could follow them on Instagram. Find them on Facebook at Sapori Rochester. And if you want to find their website, it's real simple. Sapori-Rochester.com. Savore.
Flavore.
Sapori. It's Italian for flavor.
I got you.
Ah, we're the worst.
Worked it into your vernacular.
We're selling a lot of stuff today. Three Heads Brewing, baby. This is getting weird. Three Heads Brewing. Oktoberfest is so good.
It is really good.
We have a fridge full of it in the studio right now.
It tastes different this year.
It's good, though.
It's like almost better somehow.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. You get it at Wegmans. You get it anywhere fine beer is sold. And if you're coming to a show at Comedy at the Carlson, just ask for some Three Heads in your glass. And last but not least, our good friends at Iron Smoke Whiskey. Handcrafted in upstate New York, available in two varieties, Applewood Smoked Whiskey or Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. The holidays are coming up. Why bring a pie when you bring Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey and be the real hit of the party? Eh, Brian?
Yes, and just to be clear, it's not our hands that crafted it, so you're all right.
You know, come back to me. Thank you.
You don't have to worry about diseases or anything.
Yeah, it's not our hands.
It's clean hands.
We won't let Cam anywhere near your bottle.
No.
His hands are filthy, I believe.
I wash them regularly, but it doesn't help.
I understand. We're going to have to buy a new keyboard. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to kick it over to our good friend, Mr. Ross Johnson, who's sitting on the couch for news. How are you, Ross?
Hey, everybody, I'm good. I'm a little, a little brought down by the Alzheimer's talk, but it's all right. I'm just going to keep it low key. It's fine.
I'm sorry. Can you?
It's all right. Can I? Can I bring it back up?
Can you bring it back
up? Yes, absolutely.
I beg you, bring it back up.
You know what's fun?
All right, so
Alzheimer's.
Let's talk about what we're doing. What's going on in the news this week?
So, okay, so Cat Williams, who is not William Cat, star of TV's Greatest American Hero, by the way, just for old people.
People get confused.
So I have to refer to my notes on this one, because so bear with me for a second. So Cat Williams is back in the news. He did not get arrested.
Hey!
So we're feeling pretty good. Good news, Cat Williams. He's congratulations.
Very small. He sneaks away sometimes.
Absolutely.
The regular cuffs don't fit him.
So, okay, so bear with me for a second on this one. So Cat Williams was on the Frank and Wanda radio show in Atlanta, where he started a beef with Tiffany Haddish, saying that because she has a big Netflix special coming up, saying that she didn't have the chops, she didn't earn it, she's getting all this money for nothing.
How many times has she been arrested?
Zero times, to my knowledge. Anybody?
Sure.
Any information on that? So a few days later, apparently, for some reason, the co-host's husband, so this is a gentleman named Lamora Sellers, who's the co-host of the radio show, took issue with what Cat Williams had said about Tiffany Haddish, so pulled a gun on Cat Williams in front of a Food Depot.
So maybe this would be a good thing. Maybe he'll finally know what it's like to have one pulled on him.
This is like the most low-key beef I've ever heard in my
life. Yeah, so this seems like you're just looking for an excuse, right? Like you're just because if you're going to beef about
the co-host's husband.
Not because he had insulted Wanda, the co-host, because he had insulted Tiffany Haddish.
Well, she's delightful. Not only that, this reminds me of last week when Brian Ball threatened Gilbert Gottfried's wife with a knife.
It's just like that.
Completely ridiculous.
out of the blue.
I don't know what came over.
Just out of nowhere. Apparently, Cat Williams retreated into the Food Depot, and no one was injured. The epilogue to the story.
He hid behind a box of raisins.
I'm gonna change my Twitter profile to retreated into the Food Depot.
No.
What else could he have hid behind?
Is always good for
that
a.
It was just a jar, a can of Campbell's soup he jumped and hid behind.
What a magnificent sentence.
Feeling good about this one. The epilogue is. Cat Williams and Tiffany Haddish apparently squashed the beef at the Emmys, where they hugged and made up.
They let Cat Williams at the Emmys?
They let Cat. He was nominated along with Tiffany Haddish, so they made friends.
She had to get on her knees to hug him, though.
That's true. That sounds gross.
Unfortunate.
That doesn't sound good. So, this next bit, I guess I'm calling back in the day, classic comedians who you may remember from times past.
Back in the day.
So Chevy Chase sort of is in the news again-ish, kind of. He was the subject of a largely sympathetic profile in the Washington Post, the first largely sympathetic profile in a while, saying he's 74
Since
years old.
Since Fletch lives.
Oh, that'd be a good title. Yeah. He's 74 years old. He's ready to work. He's sober, but no one wants to work with him. It's very sad. But
I cannot fathom why.
So in the it's a good profile if you read it. But
I did read a little bit of it yesterday.
It is fairly sympathetic, but you can sort of get a taste of why nobody wants to work with Chevy Chase in the article where he's talking about how like it's so sad that nobody wants to work with me because I'm a nice person. Describing the current state of Saturday Night Live, he says it's the worst fucking humor in the world. I don't want to put down Lorne of the cast, but I'll just say I'm amazed that Lorne has gone so low. I had to watch a little bit of it, but I just couldn't fucking believe it. Talking about the audience of people who watch Saturday Night Live, he describes them as a whole generation of shitheads that laughs at the worst fucking humor in the world.
Well, so, I will say,
what an asshole! But
he has the same haircut as Einstein, but he is not very smart, is he?
But all that said, Chevy, if you want to work, we'll.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Put you in that seat.
Oh, I'm happy. I could.
Second. No. We'll replace Cam with Chevy Chase. I wouldn't replace Ross.
I'll let you.
I have a feeling that Ross,
the Big Breakfast Special,
would put way more effort into his performance than Chevy would. But I will say this, Ross, pick it up with the pratfalls if you want to keep your gig.
Yeah.
I'm working on my hair as well.
Let's just start knocking him down.
Yeah, you can just shove.
Start shoving him.
Yeah, I'm super perfect. Clumsy. So
perfect.
Eddie Murphy, another SNL classic SNL person. Well, in addition to a lot of other things.
He could not possibly be talking trash about Eddie Murphy, Cody.
No, so Eddie Murphy. No, so unrelated. Eddie Murphy is going to be appearing in his signed for a remake. If you want to feel old about yourself, he's appearing in a remake of Grumpy Old Men. And Samuel L. Jackson is rumored to be in the running for the Walter Matthau character. So.
Okay, I'd watch it.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
I'd watch that all day. And all day long.
And finally, comedian from back in the day, Roseanne says she's moving to Israel when the new show The Conners starts because she just can't handle it.
Don't know.
After she dies of opioid addiction, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
Her character or the person. Who knows?
That's how we killed Nick off. It was opioid addiction, I think. That's how Nick died.
I think that was going to happen.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
He choked to death on a Doctor Who watch thing.
It said, "Do not put it in your mouth." It said, "Do not chew on."
He had a chain on it. His like pocket watch chain got around his neck, and he.
Oh, once he that died. Goes down your trachea, yeah. You're doomed.
Making love to his sonic screwdriver.
All right, what else you got, Ross?
Happy birthday to Michael Costa of The Daily Show. He's turning 39 on September 27th. In case you're wondering why we're wishing him happy birthday, he will be at the Carlson. In October.
That's right. Coming up in just a few
weeks. Extra excited. So you can wish him a happy belated birthday.
He'll be sitting right where you're sitting.
Awesome.
He'll think that you know something about him.
I will try not to fart too hard. Finally, here's what's coming up in comedy special type news. Got a couple Netflix things coming up. Wanda Sykes just signed herself to a new Netflix special. Fresh off the Roseanne show. That is absolutely Wanda Sykes.
You always sent me four pictures, Ross, and you did like six stories. So I don't know what you want me to do here.
I added stuff because, you know, there's but news. I don't have pictures breaking. For it.
So you really
just going to have to
ruin everything.
Can you imagine Wanda Sykes for a minute? Can
not when I'm looking at Jeff.
Visualize.
Not when I'm looking at stupid Wanda Jeff Sykes. Ross dressed as Gaddafi.
All right. Well, Wanda Sykes has a special coming out, so you can watch
good.
It. Jeff Ross.
Thanks, Jeff Ross.
Also, Jeff Ross has a series. We talked last time about Norm MacDonald's new series, which is going to be interesting now. Is it? Good?
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen any of them yet. He's been in the news himself.
I know he's in a bit of trouble, but it's a good show.
Yeah. So Jeff Ross is getting a new series called Jeff Ross Historical Roasts. This is based on the thing he's done before. Where he brings together A-list comedians in period-appropriate costume and roasts them as though they were historical people. Does that sound good? I don't know. Could be terrible.
We'll find out!
That's the news!
That's all I got. Historical roast.
Is everybody still imagining
Wanda
Sykes?
It's kind of a good idea.
It's not bad. It's kind of like a drunk history meets roast battle.
It'd just be funny if it's Carl Reiner every time.
Oh.
If it's just historical roast. Bringing him, Mel Brooks.
I don't know.
Is Shelley Berman still alive? We can bring him in.
I am happy because I have a whole bunch of James Buchanan material I've built up over the years.
That's good.
That I think will be great.
How was that documentary? Was it good?
It was good.
Oh, callback. Yeah. Callback to your old manisms. All right, we are going to be right back and reveal our mystery guest. Stay tuned.
There may be smoke.
Hey, everybody, don't forget to... Hey, everybody, we have some exciting shows coming up this fall right here at Comedy at the Carlson. We got two more shows coming up tonight with the great Jeremy Piven, September 21st, tonight. Tomorrow night, in the main room, we have Mr. Sky Sands. We also have from HBO's Crashing next weekend, Jamie Lee. Brent Morin will be here October 4th through the 6th. Todd Youngin presents Pancakes and Kegels October 10th. Rob Schneider, October 12th and 13th, with special guest Jamie Lissau. Pauly Shore, One Night Only, Sunday, October 14th. Michael Costa from The Daily Show, October 19th and 20th. November 1st through the 3rd, Dave Koechner, Whammy! Brad Williams, November 8th through the 10th. Our pal Shuby, Jimmy Schubert, will be here November 15th through the 17th. Dr. Dirty John Valby, Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November 21st. And Robert Kelly, November 23rd and 24th. Big stuff happening at Comedy at the Carlson, so you should obviously come see a show. But how do you do it? It's simple. Get your tickets by calling 5854-COMEDY or visit carlsoncomedy.com. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, don't forget to watch us live Friday mornings on Facebook Live and YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. If you just want to listen to the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And you might want to check out this little neat app that just came out. You might have heard of it. It's called Laughable. It's pretty incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a great way to connect you and your favorite comedians. And if you forgot everything I just said, visit us at CarlsonCast.com. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Mystery and intrigue.
I love a game. I love a game. Welcome back. Our mystery guest is in the studio, but before we reveal whom it is.
We have under a blanket.
We should have put him under a blanket. Why didn't we think of that? I want to remind you all thank you for tuning in again. And just remind you guys, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever good podcasts are sold. And make sure you leave a review. I forgot to tell you that earlier, and that's important.
It is.
If you want to support us, get with it. Cool. Well,
just 5 stars. That's all we ask for.
Yeah. All we ask for is a lie.
Yeah.
That's all we want you to do is just, you know, give up your integrity and give us 5 stars. So, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop beating around the bush here.
Okay.
And let's play a quick little game of 20 questions with our mystery guest, who we will not reveal yet, as to maybe give the audience clues as to whom it is. Mystery guest, can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can.
His voice is disguised.
His voice is disguised. Yeah. That is not his regular voice.
That's our high tech.
If you like to text in your guesses, you can do that. It's 585-484-0265. The text line is open. I have it in front of me right now. So, mystery guest, are you Sky Sands?
You really just messed up this whole thing.
No.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, our mystery guest is a liar. It's Sky Sands, everybody.
Well, I could have said that was Obadiah because there's different characters.
Okay, okay.
So Obadiah is a character that I do. So
right. He's an older guy.
I have an act with him. Plus, he does voiceovers and he does commercials.
Was Obadiah in Back to the Future?
Oh no, no.
Go ahead, Suits.
No, Evie.
Rhodes. Where we're going, we don't need Rhodes.
Wow. He did a condom commercial. He's like,
you know. The gum in the men's room is a ripoff. 50 cents a piece and the stuff tastes like rubber.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching Taxi the other day, and that just made me so happy to see it. Such a young Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
It really did.
Slow down. What does a yellow light mean?
Slow down.
What?
Yeah.
So, Sky Sands is here today. We're glad to have you. The reason Sky is here is a very simple one. Sky is headlining the room Saturday night. You have your opportunity to see a guy who is literally a legend in the business. He's one of those guys.
He is. You are.
We talk about you all the time, Sky. You sure certainly are a legend. He's a legitimately kind, humble human being who can't take a compliment without giggling like a child.
Oh my God.
There's a fine line between being a legend and being infamous, though.
Well,
so yeah.
Well,
you straddle it well.
What they both have in common is old. Old and in the business a long time.
Well,
man.
I mean, you did just come in here and do a Christopher Lloyd imitation out of the gate. So, I mean, we can't say you're exactly a millennial.
Well, who's going to get my. No one's going to end up getting my John Adams if I do John Adams because. Everyone said I had his voice down perfectly.
The second president.
They said I had his voice down perfect.
Yeah,
it was good. You could use whatever voice you want for tonight.
Oh no, I'm a purist.
Yeah,
I'm a purist.
He can't quite get Quincy. He can't quite get John Quincy.
No, I can't. But you know what? You can't be good at everything, and that's why you just have to focus. Focus.
So I have to start at the beginning with you, Sky.
Go ahead.
I grew up in Brighton.
I never grew up, but I was raised in Brighton.
You were raised in Brighton.
And I say that all the time. It's true.
Now, were you born in Rochester, New York?
Actually, no, I wasn't born. I was conceived in Brooklyn.
Nice.
I was born in Watertown.
Uh-huh.
I was very sick. Spent months in the hospital as a baby.
Oh, wow.
I was a preemie. And then they got me out of the hospital, and then they said, great, now that he's out of there, we got to get out of Watertown.
Yeah,
because it was different than it is now.
As one does.
Yes, one Watertown actually is the Indian word mean leave you Jew.
No,
because the family that side of the family is Jewish.
Right.
And there were no Jews back there, you know, and that's a whole other story. But
was it a little bit of a intolerance issue?
Oh, big time. Yeah. You ain't one of those Jews, are you? I mean, for real. So they moved.
And no, I just seem to have lost the rest of my hat.
Wow.
Come on.
Are we calling that the hat now, too?
No.
Because they cut the hat. All right, so, wow.
I get it.
Tough room.
I'm putting my sunglasses on now. I'm uncomfortable.
There you go. And
time out.
Then they moved, and I guess to a series of places, and then they moved to Rochester. At one point, my mom and dad got divorced, and then they got remarried again. For the kids' sake, which was, oh my God, thanks a lot.
That always works.
Now we get to hear the action. And then then they got divorced again.
To be fair, it's better than hearing about it separately from both of them later.
That happened anyway. And actually, it was crazy. My childhood, my mothers were something else. And there's just one lady, but she was a character.
Sounds like she was multiple characters.
Very much so.
Did you have to wear little referee shirts all the time?
I felt like it, actually. Yeah. I really did. I felt like I was the guy on Star Trek with the half white, half black, and then the half black and the half white face, if you ever saw that.
Yeah, I remember that.
I saw that. That was an important thing for me. Well, actually, that sticks out of my mind because that was the night that I ate mushrooms in college and saw that and knew what life was all about. I saw the Star Trek episode. I get it now. I get it.
You know what? That happened to our news guy, Ross Johnson, too.
His entire life is based on a Star Trek episode.
Well, yeah. All right, and not just the Star Trek, but also I did see in college, with the aid of some fungi, I watched Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D, and that has to be the hardest I've ever laughed in public lying on the ground in my life. I mean, I just can, it sticks right out. I remember the guy's name who we went to the movies together, and I don't want to mention his name, but
that relationship would never work.
Brandon, but it's cool. And then we lived out, before we moved to Brighton, I lived in the city off Conkey Avenue.
Right.
So like I'd walk to school and see the police around, some guy hung himself in his garage as I walked to number 8 school. And then, my mother said, don't look at that direction of that house tomorrow when
Stop
you walk to school.
Stop looking at people's garages.
Yeah, but it's not like I had to be walked to school. I mean, it was just what you did.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was different childhood than everyone thinks. And I was the poorest kid in Brighton. I bet you I was the poorest kid in school.
Interesting.
You know, food stamps, welfare. I mean, because dad left. No child support, no alimony. Just fend for yourself.
So you're growing up in Brighton, which, you know, for those of you who are listening across country, might not have a frame of reference for that. I would say that Brighton would be your more higher end incomes, not millionaires, but a lot of six figure salaries.
Especially back in those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely. I mean, it was before
suburb.
Pittsford.
Yeah.
You know, Brighton was more Pittsford than Pittsford was.
Right. It was a very wealthy part of town.
Very, very. And there were a lot of Jews. Uh-huh. That's what they were getting upset. I think some people, the Jews were moving in. You know, and my family are Jews and Italians.
And the property values are just shooting right up.
Shooting right up. Yeah. The bastages, yeah. I tell you.
So you're in this school. You're the poorest kid in the school.
Yeah.
Did you catch heat for that?
Yeah. Because first of all, I had a ticket. They didn't do the paid tickets for lunch back in those days. You'd have a ticket, you give money. Everyone had 45 cents or whatever, and I had a ticket that was given to me that I had to give the woman to punch. Now, that was also reserved for the slow kids who couldn't remember their money, so that they'd punch the ticket so that you'd know you'd always had your card. So here I am. So, oh no, I'm not slow. I'm just really poor in Brighton.
So the kids sat and watched the line and said, we're stupid. Let's guess which one they are.
Both, you know, and I was, well, and I wore hand-me-downs because of the clothing. I mean, to me, people would say, once I remember someone said, those are really cool pants. Where'd you get them? And everyone got their stuff at the Shed House or these places. And I was like, Gold Circle or JM Fields. I mean, the discount places.
Right.
But then it was just weird. I don't give a rat's ass now, but then it was weird. And I had red curly hair, 5'7", going into my senior year, my full first name, Skyler. Why don't they just name me, beat him up till he's 16? You know, because that was it. You know, it's sports. If you take Sands, we'll give you 3 other people. You know, because I was, and that was kickball.
Aw. So you weren't popular at all?
I started, I think, getting popular when I started being a goofball and doing the magic. Probably, see, people see me differently. They think I did theater because that was my saving grace. know, you could be someone else.
Sure.
There's a lot of issues going on in here.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that later.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. And if you want to lay back while you talk about it, you can too. Yes, keep the cameras rolling.
Can you repeat the question, though? I went back to like a pot-smoking day right there. What were we talking about?
My question is, when you're in that high school...
Oh, it felt
you
weird.
You caught a lot of heat.
Yeah.
But at some point, you turned into the Sky Sands we have now. And I know you started entertaining... Very, very young.
I started clubs. Well, first of all, it's junior year, I began to get hipper. And when I was a senior, I thought I was cool. Right. I mean, or I believed that Sky had potential, which is really cool because that was great. And I did the plays and student council, and I was performing in nightclubs when I was 16. And it's funny because the drinking age was 18. So I'd go to the Red Creek with my friend's mom, and we'd go to the amateur night, the amateur hour. Mm-hmm. And then I was 17, and I started doing clubs on my own. And I went to a place called O'Brien's Butcher Shop, which was on the corner of Winton and Jefferson. Right now it's, I forgot the name of the bar. There's a bar. It's got a couple letters before the name of it. And it's in that plaza. Anyway, and I would do shows there. And then I remember someone saying, and then I turned 18. They're like, You're only 18. You're a senior in high school. I thought you were a senior in college. I went, I hardly look like I'm a freshman in college or in high school.
Yeah.
I was a kid. But I started doing the clubs when I was 18, and then I would play the opening of an envelope if I knew that there was a chance for me to get in. I'm serious. I was doing the playpen. I did shows at places that no person. I did shows at Green Streets when Green Streets was around.
Wow.
You name a place in Rochester for real, a building. I performed, you know, there's so many places I performed, and that's not me bragging. That's saying I performed at it. When I found out my grandfather, I get a phone call, your grandfather just died. And I'm hearing in the background, please welcome Sky Sands. Now, that was at the Casablanca, but when my grandmother died, I got the phone call, and I was performing at a Sherwin-Williams store. That shows you, because there was also the magic and the comedy.
Wow.
Because you missed the gig at Abbott's. So you were at the Sherwin-Williams instead.
You know, it's actually, I used to work at the ice cream parlor, which before that was called Spangles.
Yeah.
And that was cool. That's where I met this first girl. She went to NAS, and I thought, I'm taking out a college girl because I was a senior in high school. And I went to her house to pick her up, and her parents were on me like, oh, brown on rice. And it was crazy because I eat healthy. And... She went to Nazareth. She went to Nazareth Academy.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, and they're going to have her home by 9. I'm thinking, there goes every. It was just not what I was envisioning.
I understand.
Yeah.
So we got a lot out here, and I want to dissect a little bit of it because what I'm interested in is you specialize in magic and stand up. You found a magical mixture of the two of them. I think your act is incredible. It's one of the most highly entertaining. I recommend it all the time.
Stop it some more.
My in-laws are coming to see you tomorrow night.
How are they?
I don't know.
They never talk about me. They've never called me.
Let me tell you
the
truth.
They don't call him either.
They don't call me either. So
you don't call me. Oh, yeah, you do call me.
I do call you. I do call you. So either way, like, I recommend your show all the time to people.
Do I see something real cool before you ask me the question?
No, I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
We're going to get to something really cool.
Okay.
Okay. When you first started performing, you said you started very young. Did you start doing just a magic show, or were you just doing comedy? What did you start off as?
7 years old, magic. Wanted to be a drummer. Really dug Buddy Rich on the Skins.
Right on.
And then saw the movie Houdini with Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh, and I knew that was what I wanted to do. The next day, went to the library in my school and got a book on magic. Within 2 to 3 weeks... I did a show in my friend's garage. We went door to door, ringing the bell. We're having a show. You know, like, my mom's got a sheet we could use for a curtain. Let's do a play. And started doing magic at 7, 8.
That's a beautiful thing, though. That's the way I feel
those days are just gone.
That's how I feel like when I first got into comedy. We're putting on a show. We're all going to come see it. And we're all so happy.
Yeah.
But, man, you don't realize what just, like... A wonderful, simplistic view of it, show business, that is.
Well, and you know what? That's what I try to still keep. I really do. I was doing kids' birthday parties when I was...
A kid.
Like, I'm going to say 8 years old. My first birthday party, I did at 7 for a bunch of little kids that were like 3. You could have done a yo-yo and they would have been happy. But I did a birthday party for a kid who was 10. I was 8. And I remember the mother coming downstairs and all the kids were beating the crap out of me because I wouldn't teach them how to do a trick. And they were all bigger than me. And like, tell us how you did it. Tell you. And the mother's like, and I still have to pay you? And I think I was charging like $7 at the time. There was a guy I charged $15 for a kid show 2 blocks from my house, and he went, I'll give you $5. Wow. $15. And I was investing. I mean, I was buying magic. Back in the day, there was either a wizard guy in Rochester, Mr. Sem, uh-huh, who you could get stuff from. Otherwise, it was Tannen's in New York City.
Really?
But it was very exclusive. So I've got magic still from those days.
Wow.
So it was an investment.
I would have loved to have seen that show where little Sky got beat up.
Yeah.
Oh. I can just imagine him walking away going, I'm sticking to the clubs. At least they have bouncers.
And you know what's sad for Sky, though, is that just last week somebody beat him up because he wouldn't show him a trick. Does it still happen to you to this day?
It does, but you know what? She was so sweet. And once she was using the cane on me, and I thought, I don't want to upset her, but I kind of like this. So it was a dichotomy.
Yeah, yeah,
it was
yeah.
like, you know,
no, I won't tell you.
I won't tell you. Where's that red rubber ball?
I'm a bad boy.
Yeah, how come they spank you when you're a kid? And now if you want that same treatment on your birthday,
it costs a lot.
It's like $200, but you got to strap that ball in your mouth. Yeah. It's crazy. Call me white trash. I don't like it. Too much of a commitment.
Miss the good old days.
I do. You know, when a boy could lie on his mother's lap and get spanked and say, I don't know if it's normal, but it feels good.
And it's my day.
And why can't I tell Daddy this? My mother's going, oh, Oedipus, stop it now.
Oh, dear heart.
There's another part of that joke.
So
my question is,
yeah.
at what point in your life did you sacrifice whatever you sacrificed, what animal living thing it was you sacrificed, to get your powers of genuine sorcery?
Because you do some pretty amazing stuff, pal.
There's something
packed
dark
with the
something
devil.
Something dark happened at some point, I feel. Because I watch you do magic, and you're a genuine sorcerer.
Well, there is a pact. There is a pact.
Yeah.
The only thing I could sum it up are the only words I use on stage that I'm allowed to say to talk about it, and that would be Klaatu Barada Nikto.
That's it.
Klaatu Barada Nikto. And that's basically where it all came from.
All right.
I love it.
I mean, if you want, I could show you something real quick.
Please
though.
Do. Yeah, please
this
do.
Is, and I didn't plan on doing magic here, uh-huh, but I just happen to have an orange silk. I just love magicians, you know, and there are quite a few gay magicians, which is cool. I mean, I know quite a few of them. But you wonder why. Well, gee, what do we work with? We work with silks. Mm-hmm. And flowers, mm-hmm, and little animals, and what do? We ruffled shirts. We wear ruffled shirts, and we say words like wow, or is that no poof and sow. You always have people coming up to you when you're a little kid, and adults going, now you have to keep this a secret. All right, you can't tell anyone. I mean, it's just crazy. You make flowers and stuff appear.
Interesting.
Names are Fantasio, Dante. I mean, it's really funny, actually, the subculture, and there are quite a few, but there's that's like saying there's also gay people in the restaurant business. You know what? There's also white people in the restaurant and black people. There's people are people.
I find it interesting that, like, in the entertainment business, the more flamboyant, it goes either way, the more flamboyant a performer performs, the more attractive they become to people in general,
and you across
could go
the board,
to like androgyny sells, and magic especially, and it—I mean, even in rock and roll, everywhere.
Yeah,
Eddie, it works in comedy. Eddie Izzard, androgyny.
Izzard, yeah. I mean, amazing, and he's okay. Enough said about that. I'll just say it. I like him. I think he's very, yeah, very talented. I think that it's funny that certain businesses, though, do gravitate. You know, airline attendants. Mm-hmm. You see a bit more of the gay airline attendants. I mean, you do for men, mm-hmm, and in the restaurant business. And whereas you don't see, I've yet to have a gay plumber. which is kind of ironic, but still,
right?
If you think,
we all look to make sure Ross laughed, and then we
laughed. Well, okay, you know what? You know what? It's funny because I've been asked all my life. Especially, I used to wear the big jackets and many, many earrings if I was gay, and I'd say no, excessively happy,
right.
Because. And you know what? When people, I don't even mind if they ask because it's an enigma. Someone said to me, I was with this, talking to this guy, and someone said, you know, that they thought I was gay. And he said, are you mad? I said, no. He goes, I'd kick his ass. I go, why? He goes, I'd kick his ass. Someone thought I was gay. I said, wow, that's too bad. I said, I think it's so cool that you're so hot, both sexes want you. You know? Dang, man. It's all good. Although, right. What's interesting also is I've had girlfriends. This is weird. I'm really disclosing a lot here. One of my girlfriends decided that she wanted to be with women after me.
Mm-hmm.
So at first I thought, oh my gosh.
I broke her.
Yeah. Or was I that bad? Was I that bad that she had to go with the other two?
Common old school thought.
Another girl who I dated after her ended up going gay.
Interesting.
A third girl who I dated went gay.
You really are a magician.
Now one of them went back. Not the kind of trick I was looking for, though.
That should be your closer. Just pick some random woman out of the crowd and turn her gay.
Well, I said to her, I said, was I that bad? And she said, no. She goes, first of all, after being with you, no other guy could come close. So I had to go with a woman. I said, really? She went, no. But if that makes you feel good.
I was going to say that's the biggest line of horseshit.
Oh, it was. I knew it was. But it was ironic.
All right, let's see this orange silk trick.
The orange silk trick. You could take an orange hanky. This is really ballsy because I don't perform sitting down. Okay, and you push it in, and with the other hand, you pull it out.
Ah.
And for those of you that are blind, it's now green. Oh, ask me about the blind trick later. I did it here last week.
Okay.
Oh, very cool. What a great story.
All right.
I've heard of Sky, but I thought he'd be funnier. Well, today isn't just about funny. Today is about stories. We're getting to learn. Watch this.
Uh-huh.
Not bad.
That's not the worst thing I've ever
seen. Sorcery.
He's a witch. Get the gas.
And what's not making it across on camera, that that silk is gay.
I also made
it gay.
I read to the blind.
Yes, you do.
And,
on the radio.
On the radio. And I said to the sound engineer, hey, Andy, you ever see a trick? Want to see some magic? And he's blind.
Mm-hmm.
And said, yeah, you're really funny. I said, actually. So I did a magic trick where I counted coins into his hand, and he heard them.
Uh-huh.
And I said, everything I'm doing to you, I would do. And there was a sighted person watching. Uh-huh. I dropped 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the sixth coin I drop in his hand, he closes it immediately. And then I touch the back of his hand, and on the third tap, I rub the back of his hand, and I touch his hand, there's a quarter. And he opened his hand, and there were 5 quarters.
Wow.
So I did that to a blind lady here the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I almost started crying because it was the first time they experienced magic. Go on.
That's amazing. Did she also notice that you probably lifted her wallet while you did it? Is that...
No, she's blind. They are such easy marks. You know, I felt bad. Sorry. I actually saw one time another guy came in, who a blind person with his arm in his cast, and I went, "What'd you do? Try to read a speed limit sign?" Oh, that's me. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That means
I
got
the
message.
Star Trek theme?
Well, I don't know what it is. I think it's like, "I am here." Oh, here we go. Well, I'll tell you later.
Okay.
They just went, I was on a date with you once. Am I gay? Okay.
Apparently.
Text back, yes.
That's
a pretty good chance.
No, it wasn't it.
So here's where we're at.
Talk to me.
You're out of you're high school age. You're a senior in high school, just graduated.
Yeah.
You're doing magic shows. Where does the comedy come into the mix at this point? Or does it not?
No, it does. Comedy was always there, even when I started doing magic.
That's what I wanted to know. Beautiful.
When I did a magic show, I would also like take out a rubber chicken, and I'd show the sword, and then I'd take the sword and put it in the chicken, and then I'd pull it out. And then I'd scratch my head, and I'd put it in the chicken this time and go like this, and then put it in all the way, and out of its butt, all this water would come out. So I made it, I go, chicken soup!
Right.
And then I'd wring it out, and then I would just keep going. Well, you know, a water balloon inside a rubber chicken.
Right.
But I thought it was genius. It was funny. I mean, it's the shtick, you know?
Right.
And then
I see, and I like how, like, a lot of magicians don't, people who get into magic don't think that way. And that's why I want to highlight this, because it's so, it's interesting. Like, a lot of people who do magic, and it's, they don't go the Penn and Teller silly route. They go the very mysterious Copperfield route.
Again, I was Skyler with red curly hair, and it just, I didn't look, I tried it once. Right. I called myself the Great Sandini.
Ooh.
Because I, at the end, means to be like. So Houdini was him saying he wanted to be like Robert Houdin, who was a French conjurer.
Ah.
And he took Harry from Harry Blackstone.
Gotcha.
His name was Eric Weiss.
I think I knew that.
Yeah. Jewish boy, father was a rabbi from Budapest. Sandini was terrible. Was terrible. I had a cape, the Great Sandini. I mean, I should have been a wrestler with the Great Sandini, with a cape on the back that looked like right. that. And I just knew I was funny because I was always looking to be accepted. I always wanted approval. I wanted, and to make you laugh meant that you were listening to me. It meant that I had your attention.
You picked up on that young, huh?
I had to. Family was a very, very weird thing for me. It was a very weird thing. And again, no male influence. Female influence, my mom, who worked four jobs to keep my sister and I fed and a roof on our head. But she had her own issues, too. God sure. bless her. She's recently, well, she's still dead, but she recently died.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I only do that once.
Yeah.
It's one trick you can only do
if
once.
If you do it right.
Right, if you do it right. But she's still, but I still hear her. That's it? That's all you're going to do for this? Sorry, that's the Jewish guilt.
I
Italian
understand.
Guilt.
Oh, I hear you.
And then I started doing the comedy, the magic. I thought I would put the comedy together because no one was doing comedy with magic then. The magicians, the magician group, right. they were all serious guys. They were all serious. Some did it just to music, like the da 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 Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass present. And then
right.
some guys were, now watch as I take you into the land of the mysterious. Right, and I'm like, hey.
Right.
Ever see sex from the inside? Whoa. All right, so so it ended up, I started doing the magic and the comedy, and I'm not blowing my own horn because I'm not that flexible. I was the first in Free Time Magazine. There was no listing for comedy and magic.
Right.
There was no listing for comedy at the time. I started doing the comedy there. It was me and the Outrageous Inn started.
Wow.
But I was doing comedy. I was the only one that was literally performing, not at open mics.
What year are we talking about, Sky?
I'm talking probably 1980.
Okay.
1980, and I wasn't doing open mics at that point. Having what I had in there, I was opening for bands, anything I could, and then I was doing corporate parties, whether it was, first it was Blue and Gold, then it was dinners for companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working as a comic, really, at age 80, or at age 80, 1980, until I auditioned for a role. And the role that I auditioned for took me away from comedy for almost 5 years. Didn't take me away, but wasn't my main bread
right.
and butter.
So listen, I know you don't always like to say what role you took. So I'm going to throw some clues out there to people just because I know it's not something that you always like to talk about. But I will say this. It's a national thing.
It was national.
It was very national. You were a beloved character. You played a character.
I
can say that right.
The number one, at one time, the number one recognized character to children in America. Santa Claus was second 1 year.
No fooling.
No wow. fooling. Santa Claus came in second.
Suck it, Santa.
And he's, well,
yeah,
Santa's.
So those are some interesting clues. But I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal, folks. If you're watching this right now and you're interested in seeing Sky Sands live, if you hit me on the text line right now and you tell me which beloved character Sky Sands played, I will give you a pair of tickets to come see him tomorrow night. How does that sound, everybody? Lines open, 585-484-0265. I won't blow up your spot, Sky. I will say, though, that if I were to wear this purple shirt next to you while you were playing that character, people would probably go, oh, I get it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, it's funny, you mentioned something earlier about my take on magic. Really, my take on everything that I have to do on stage is theater. I'm not, I mean, it's funny because this is a really fine line for other comedians. I'm not a, I'm a comic, but I'm an entertainer. And comedians, if you say you're an entertainer, they say that's a bunch of horse crap. You know, either you're a comic or you're not. I do magic, and that's that in itself is balls. Just so you know, I know 100%. It is. Because comedians have this purist thing. First, there's the comedian, the pure comedian. And then there's the music comedian who does the song parodies. Then there's the prop comic. Then there's magicians. Then there's jugglers. Then there's ventriloquists. And then there's...
improv.
Mimes. Improv is different... But now, see, first of all, you can't say that about ventriloquism because Jeff Dunham is laughing all the way to the bank. Number two, I remember I stopped doing magic for a bit when I was doing the comedy clubs because I've got enough material. I've got literally... I've done a two-hour show in a theater. And so I didn't do the... I was at Bananas in Poughkeepsie. And Harlan came up and said, where's the magic? I said, you know, the other comics are giving me a hard time about the props and the magic. He said, I don't care about the other comics. He said, I'm at no shortage for white stand-up monologists. I need funny and I need different. And you are definitely different and you're funny. And I don't care about that you can do it on your own. You don't have to prove this to me. And I don't care what you think that the other guys think about you. I want you to do your act. So then, that for that part right there, I lost a lot of, that's right, I don't care about that. So I do a bit, I even did a bit where, and I still have him, Obadiah, and that's, he originally spoke, this guy, and I changed him. Have you ever seen Obadiah, the old man with the mask?
I've seen you do it, yeah.
Yeah, it's 11 minutes, no talking on stage whatsoever. Right. The entire act is done with billboards like vaudeville that say what I'm thinking.
Right.
When I get mad, it swears with the asterisk, exclamation point, hashtag.
Right. So it seems you don't really need the voice for that.
You don't need... Right, well, I did used to do it with the voice, and then I realized it would be better to do silent because I was going over and doing... I was going to go to Germany, and I wanted to perform in Germany, so I had someone write up the billboards in German, Italian, and I did it in different languages. And it translated just great.
Yeah, so that's smart.
And then the magic was a sword through a woman's neck. And then when I get ready, it says penetration time. So even, that gets a laugh. And I look at, and once the sword goes through her, I light a cigarette up to show that it was good. And then when I pull it out, I blow the smoke through the back of her neck and it comes out the front. So it's theater. Beethoven's Pathetique is playing in the background. Which, by the way, it's amazing. How did Billy Joel get away with that?
Which song?
This night is mine, it's only you and I. Tomorrow's such a long time away. This night will last forever. And if you go back to, and it's on an Innocent Man album, Beethoven's Pathetique, note for note. Note for note.
Do you want the answer?
Copyright expired or?
Because it's public domain. It's public, classical music.
Because it's that old?
Yeah.
Okay. That answered that. Wow, now if I could just find out about the Kennedy Oswald
cool
thing.
Cool story, Vinny.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I ruined everything!
No.
Okay. So keep going. I'm listening. This is fascinating.
Well, it's just so theater. Everything should be theater. It shouldn't be, magic should not be ha, I fooled you, loser. It shouldn't be, I don't like David Silvermeadow or Copperfield. It shouldn't be this. It's not me. Mine should be like when you go over a roller coaster.
Right.
That feel that you get is what magic should make you feel even as an adult. It's like going to bed with Susie Cream Cheese. Once you've gone to bed, you wait, you're there. When that happens, bammo! It's magic. It's incredible. It'll never be the same. Don't you see a magician do a trick twice? It's not the same.
Right.
It could be good. Susie can still, she could try something new, wear a different outfit. Doesn't matter.
And I'm glad you brought that up too, because a lot of comments to you, man. You work very hard at developing new material to this day. You're constantly working on tricks or illusions or whatever you
like to
refer to.
Well, tricks and illusions, but also material.
Material.
And that's the hardest part I find in my job right now. The hardest part, I'm doing a gig tomorrow night here. And I know a couple of people that are going to be here. I know like four people that said they want to be here.
My in-laws?
No, because really, they're nothing to me right now until they call.
Same.
I get worried that I need to do an all new set. I think if I do the newspaper routine, if I do the tampoon routine, if I do my impressions, if I do the harmonica, if they've already seen it before, I feel bad. And then someone said to me, well, you're crazy because some people come back to the show just to hear these routines, like someone that used to buy a comedy album. You want to hear that? Or if you go to see Jethro Tull play and they don't play Aqualung.
Yeah, you want to see the hits?
You're pissed. So now what do? I can't do open mic nights like I want to, because if I show up at an open mic night here, people say, well, he's not doing any of his, what's he doing? And if I do new material and it sucks because I'm working on new material, then people think, wow, that wasn't so good, and I shouldn't care what they think. But if I'm in town, I want people that see me to know that I can do a good job, because that's my bread and butter. I do corporate shows. I do a lot of entertainment. And then, besides the comedy clubs, if I go out of town and I'm a day early for a club, I love doing their open mic nights.
Yeah.
If I will not do proven material at an open mic night. Why? And people that
you
do that.
You waste your time if you do that.
Well, it's not just that. It's so what? So that you can show that you can get laughs and be funny? I know it's funny. But it's not fair. It's open mic is supposed to be at putting your foot, testing the waters. So for me, that's not it. The material, the magic. I'm working on something brand new now. I can do some. Well, I've got a bunch of stuff, but I could do something that could work for you right now here that we can do, and that people that are watching at home can do. But it's all and there's loads of things. I'm not satisfied. Because if I'm thinking on stage, if I'm on stage and I'm in New York and I got to make it home, and I'm thinking while I'm in the middle of my routine about drugs, should I take 90 to 17 and then cut over to 81 while I'm on stage?
Yeah.
That's autopilot.
Yeah.
And I was on the road, one year I was on the road like 40 weeks out of the year.
That's rough.
Every night. So what we would do, other comics, if you were on with other, you'd say, pick one word or two words tonight, and you'd come up with a word. Someone, you'd, the first person, name any word who would walk by, and you'd have to fit that in your show. But it would have to fit in smoothly. You couldn't just blurt it out.
Interesting.
So we would make fun, you had to, so for me, you got to keep it fresh. How people can do a Broadway show. Mm-hmm. Every night,
I would want to die.
Well, I could do it, but I know that I'd have to put the BOL, the breath of life, into it, and you literally submerge yourself into the part. I to get out of character, it'll take me now like an hour to get out of being here, because I normally don't talk this way. You know, I get jazzed, and I'm not even in character right now.
I know. Stay out.
Yeah. Oh, fine.
Stay away from the character, Scott.
I used to be him 24/7.
Whoa.
I used to be him 20. Oh my God, we're on a ship. Oh that no, me, now baby. We're in California.
That was me. Wow. Okay. Sorry, guys.
I used to be in character all the time. I had a cousin. I still have her, I believe, but I haven't seen her in years. Who'd say, I can't stand being with you because I never know who I'm talking to. You're five different guys and you never know when to stop. And I couldn't stop it.
So none of the five know when to stop?
Oh, no. Those five don't. The other seven do.
Gotcha.
And that's for real. I mean, there's many different characters, and we talk and we argue, and I'm not embarrassed. I could talk very freely about that. I mean, everyone talks to themselves, and if you say you don't, then you don't. That's fine.
Right.
But I talk, and then there's an argument, and sometimes my wife will come in the room and say, "Who's winning?" You know, or, because it's just what it. I mean, it's crazy, but I have to get it out. And if you don't say it out loud, if you don't talk, then the words get stuck in your head, and then you get a headache because there's too much information inside there.
No, but okay.
I do.
I understand. I think everybody's a little different.
Menza.
One of the things that I have to say about your act is that it's always been friendly and welcoming and fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing abrasive about you, sir.
It's funny. I saw a videotape of me back in the 80s. I was mean.
No fool.
In this one set, I was so mean.
I want to see the tape.
I shudder. I shudder. I was mean. It was at the Comedy Attic, which used to be called the Lost and Found on Platt Street, that weird wedge-shaped building by the bridge.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. And I remember using words that I normally wouldn't use. And even now, I swear occasionally, but I've never gone out of my way to be mean. why would you? People say I won't sit in the front row, and I tell people sit in the front row because if I do some magic, you'll get a really good view of it. They'll say, "No, you're going to make fun of me." Why would I make fun of somebody who paid good money to come see me and spend, more important than their money, their Saturday, Friday, or Thursday or Wednesday night?
Right.
Now, if you're talking during my show, just leave the room. It, you know, or if you're texting during my show. I have definitely have issues, OCD, CDO, ATM.
ATM is a problem.
Well, an ATD, I've got ATD, which is, I have ADT, which is attention deficit, plus my home is guarded 24 hours a day with monthly monitoring.
It's beautiful.
It is. So I, seriously, the light, right. I won't be able to do it. Oh, I just hurts. I can't do it. And then people, and then they heckle. Why would you, I don't get where it ever came up. Why, did I make your show better? No, you didn't make it better. Hey man, come on, let's have a beer together. I don't like you. You know what? It'd be like, well, it's like, you know.
If I really was a sorcerer, yeah. What I would do to you right now would not be kind.
And you know what? Like, Vinny and I have, we're let's be fair, we're sometimes
jaded
abrasive
grumps.
People. And when someone upsets us, we have to yell at them and tell them to just, you know, go fuck themselves and go nuclear. But I think you're such a nice man. You just saying, I don't like you would hurt so much more than anything that Vinny and I could say to somebody.
You know, would you be at a play?
He doesn't like me.
What would you be at a play?
This guy likes everyone. Oh my god!
And would you yell at the Phantom? Hey, nice mask, Phantom boy. You wouldn't. So why would you do that in a theatrical setting?
Go to the theater with me.
Right.
See.
Great, Vinny.
What are you doing after this? Let's go to Toronto. We'll go see some Phantom.
There you go.
I'll show you a thing or two.
Yeah.
No, I keep going. I'm teasing you.
No, it's all. But
you don't like me, do you?
I love you, and you know what? I do, and I respect what you do. I do respect what you do.
Love and respect you back.
And it's just. It's funny because the new comics, it's funny. I was a judge for the comedy contest
a
couple times. There was a comic that actually made a dig to me while I was he knew I was the judge, and he said something like, and I know that the old school doesn't like the swearing, so blah, 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 and he started swearing. He said, if you don't like it, too bad, this is comedy now. You know, this is new day comedy. This is how it is. And I thought to myself, self?
Yes, Guy?
Are we talking? Yes. I thought it just totally derailed. In sign language, this means to the point.
Gotcha.
And they used to call me Sky, my deaf friends, because I have a hard time getting to it. So, wait, where was I again? But
this is comedy now, old man.
Oh, my God. Listen, I used to swear.
This is comedy, pop.
the shock value isn't worth it. And anyone can do that. You know, anyone can do that for 5 minutes. And when I first heard, I won't mention certain comics, Dice Clay, certain routines, the first 4 or 5 minutes, I was hysterical thinking, oh my gosh, this is so irreverent. You know, God bless them, Otto and George.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Amazing. And that's an acquired taste.
Let me tell you something. I watched people, I opened for Otto many times, and every time there were always people to show that did not know what they were in for.
Oh yeah.
And that was my favorite part.
Oh, I saw more people walk out, and it's funny because they had me as his middle, so people who knew that what he did were looking at me like, what's with white bread over here? Because I mean, I'm not super clean. I'm all right. Great story. I'm doing a gig outside of Toronto, and I see a woman who I know from Rochester through a corporate relationship.
Sure.
And she's got to be 80 if she's a day.
Right.
And she comes up to me after my show, and I've never seen her outside of Rochester, so I was really, wow. You know how you see someone when they're not in your...
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. And you give it that dog that hears a weird whistle tilt.
Like seeing your high school teacher at a bar.
Yeah. Right. And you're thinking, wow, I was with her. Is she gay now? So, so I see her and she said, Sky Sands. I said, Rosalie, I can't believe you're here. It's nice to see you. How are you? She said, I just sat through your show and I can't believe it. You are dirty. You are dirty. I'm very surprised. I said, Rosalie, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I didn't swear once on stage. I may have sworn once, mm-hmm. and I was sexual, but all the innuendos, all the inferences were in your own imagination. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything. And she looked at me and she went, I'm dirty. And it was cute at that, because really, nothing is more graphic than your own imagination.
It's true.
You know, if I do my impression of a woman from Pittsburgh having an orgasm, oh, I'm arriving. I mean, you know, there's now, I could have gone a whole bunch of different ways with
sure.
that. But to keep it simple, and for me to learn keep it simple is amazing, because I'm the most convoluted cat. You know,
it takes a while to get to the core of Sky Sands, I think.
Oh, man, even onions go. And you think we've got layers. Sure.
Sure. So my question is this. And that's a brilliant observation, by the way. A brilliant observation. Has there ever been a time where you've just decided, like nowadays, like, you know, I want to slip in something just for the heck of it, just to try it out,
oh,
just
yeah.
to see?
Yeah.
You ever going to do it?
I did. Well, first of all, I did something one of the first times I ever played this club. Someone was being disrespectful. And I remember I swore at them. And no one, everyone at the club couldn't believe it, because I swore on stage with
anger,
with angst, anger, uh-huh. and a tad of venom,
yeah.
only because they were so rude to everyone around them. Were doing Kegel exercises because they just wouldn't shut up.
Right.
And then sometimes I still have one. Like I was going to sneak one in now, but I will tomorrow night. There's a couple that I do, but you know, it's so funny. I'm so used to. It's a dichotomy. I know I can be funny. Mm-hmm. If anyone's offended by a couple of swear words in a comedy club, they've really got to be really prudish, even though they know that I'm a clean show,
right?
I'm still an adult, and I still have amazingly, creatively sexual, dirty thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even in the clergy. I think that what happens is I get concerned that if people are in the audience, again, because I work so much corporate stuff, and because I was a character for so many years.
Which, by the way, we have some text guests.
All right, because I was that character, that's what got me. And you know what happened? Just real quick, the first one thing. Let me say one thing. One thing.
He's the best Captain Kangaroo there ever.
This was. There you go, Mr. Green Jeans. I remember doing my first corporate shows, and they said, okay, remember, you got to be clean. And I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I have like 40 minutes of material back then. Well, I think I ended up having like 9 minutes of material, because there was so much dirty material in there. So that's when I learned that if you can work clean, then you can work in front of the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. If you can work clean, you can work in front of the Kodak Executive Conference.
And as a guy who has no problem wanting to work every single place he possibly can.
I love working. And you know what? I'm not a whore.
No, not saying you are. No. I'm just saying you're a wise person.
Well, I love working. I love doing what I do. If I don't do it, it's my element. I've had other jobs. I've done other things to supplement this. I've never, since I left college, I've been a full-time entertainer my entire life. I've made all my... Everything I have a house, mm-hmm. due in a car, due to telling jokes and blowing dogs, or balloon animals. I'm sorry.
So you really are an entertainer.
I am an entertainer,
Evan. And a hell of a dog walker.
Right.
It's a niche market, but he dominates it.
Except for the Pekingese. Can't do it with the Pekingese.
Yeah. Too spicy.
Too spicy, and it's not really, they don't have fur, they have hair. It's just too long.
Gross.
Yeah.
Just gross.
Yeah.
So can I, I'm not allowed to spill the beans as to what character you played?
Let's talk around it. Let's see what we got here going.
Well, first guess was the Easter Bunny, which I don't know why that would be a guess.
No, but I will say this.
I don't think that's a pain.
This. Actually, wait, no, hey, hold on. We're going back now because you opened up. May I?
Sure.
Probably 1983.
Okay.
I was doing, we'll talk about Santa in a minute, mm-hmm. but I was also doing Breakfast with the Easter Bunny, and I was doing magic and mm-hmm. comedy, And then when I was done, the Easter Bunny would come out and meet the kids. Magic with the Easter Bunny and Sky Sands at McCurdy's.
And Sky would make eggs disappear.
And then the kids would meet the Easter Bunny and take pictures. I was responsible for getting the Easter Bunny. They had I mean, I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it's a costume. And I had to get someone to wear the costume. So I found this girl, and if you're watching this right now, I'm telling you, if you didn't know this, you were crazy. And I hired her just because I wanted her. I wanted her in the worst way, which they say is standing in a hammock, but I don't believe that's true. But that's not.
I do a joke about that. Your version is much better than
okay.
Mine.
Well, it's not the worst
standing
way. I'd like
in a hammock's pretty great.
Cool. But I really, her name is Muffy at the time, just and cute as a button. And I wanted so badly just to fool around with her, and it never happened. I just didn't, you know, because I was.
So that's the lesson. Casting couch ladies, avoid it.
No, just don't. Well, you can't cast. Cute little folklore animals, because I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't see doing the Easter Bunny, you know.
Right.
How did you bring the Easter Bunny on when you were done? Did you pull it out of a big fucking
the bag? Vivacious, the astoundingly gorgeous Easter Bunny.
The Easter Bunny of it. Come over here.
Come on out here, baby.
Does anybody in the audience have a really big hat?
Hey, let me show you how I can pull a hair out of a bunny. Hey. It's called waxing, baby. Go with it.
You gotta watch a right, bunny so go the, into
the
a hat.
So the Easter Bunny, no. I worked with the Easter Bunny, but never okay. was the Easter Bunny.
Well, somebody said Santa, and that's a
Santa,
wrong guess.
I was Santa at Magic Mountain. I was Santa.
I had one of the most traumatic experiences of my life at Magic Mountain.
Merry Christmas. I was a two-pillow Santa at Sibley's and McCurdy's, and then they said, the guy from Magic Mountain didn't show up. Would you be Santa? So I did Santa Claus, and then they said, you did a good job. Would you like to do it again? And then would you like to be this season Santa for this shift?
Wow.
And I said, yes. I see a woman waiting in line. Best story of being a Santa, because I got the sickest day I ever was in my life being Santa. Mm-hmm. Oh, give Santa a kiss. And the kid's got a slug coming out of its nose. It was terrible. So this woman comes up, and she says, Santa, my kids have a list for you. I said, one moment. She says, Santa, no. I said, one moment. She said, you don't understand. She gets mad. I said, Merry Christmas. How are you? Santa Claus, oh my gosh, how are you? I said, oh, it's beautiful to see you. I'm happy. And we give a big hug, and I'm signing. Or, have you been a good boy and a good girl? And then finally, I want this, I want that. And I looked at the mother, and she said, yes, as long as you help mom and dad, good, I'll help you. And then I, under my costume, I started tearing up because these kids had never talked to Santa. But I did say, listen, I'm old. And just so you know, I don't remember a lot. Because I'm old.
Yeah.
Many years are going to go by. So remember, if you see me next year and I don't remember my sign language, it's not because I don't love you. I do. It's because I'm old and I forget. Because I have to know Italian and Japanese and Chinese. So I forget my languages. So if I don't, just remember, I love you. And, oh, Santa. And it was cool. And then I got it the
I'm
next
tearing
year.
Tearing up.
It was a beautiful, I mean, to me, that's why. Again, why are you an entertainer? It's this kind of stuff. So, no, but that's not the character that took me away for a while.
Okay. Well, this one came in from Andy, our friend Andy Kuhn, who we know. He says, was it Ronald McDonald?
You know, it's funny. I met Ronald McDonald. We spent a lot of time together. We spent a lot of time together. You know, back, I mean, a lot. At one point, you could have said we were one and the same. It was.
People could say that.
They could.
They could say that. I'm not going to say it.
I'm not
going to
say it.
That was just a question somebody asked.
I'm not going to say it either because of a contract that was signed. But I did work for a McRestaurant chain for 5 years nationally.
Oh, really?
And talked a lot higher because you can't be that character and say, hey, kid, how are you? You know, and after.
Hold on.
Did you cash some McChecks?
Sure.
Pull up my screen. Pull up my screen. No way. There's you two together. There's no way this is possible.
Now, hold on. That was, I had retired and shaved my head. I actually shaved my head the first time. The first time I shaved completely was for, that was very good. I wish, I have a picture of Ronald on my phone that I could bring up, and I don't know if you could put it on.
You could show it right to the camera there. Just hold it right up to the camera.
Sure. I have very little. I only have 15% battery, but let's see how it goes. No, that was at the Ronald McDonald Gala. I did that for That is so gala. I did that for 8 years. I was the host, the auctioneer. And the Ronald McDonald House, it's just a beautiful thing. So no, that Ronald, that is Ronald McDonald. Uh-huh. You're right. That is Ronald McDonald. So I couldn't be Ronald McDonald because
right,
there we are.
Couldn't have been it. But Andy, if you'd like to come see Sky's show tomorrow, you have two tickets. That's all I'm going to say there. You have two tickets, Andy.
All right,
I'm going to
bring up this picture. This is I'll show you something really cool, and you can just tell me if I'm holding it right. Here's photos. So why do I have these? Because sometimes, and I used to be so proud of it. I used to think this would like get me girls. Hey, look who I used to be. Although I could tell,
you know, it might, but you might not want to have long conversations with the girls.
Well, I'll tell you something. I did have a friend one time. I came home from a Mick performance, and I went into my apartment.
Your Mick apartment,
yeah. And very rare would I ever go back to my apartment in costume. I was always in a hotel because I was always on the road. But even when Rochester had him come into town, it would be at a hotel. They had to bring me back to my place, which they didn't want because paparazzi, believe it or not, you get people that are hounds that want to catch him looking who he is or doing something normal.
Really?
Yeah. That's why you'll never see Ronald McDonald drink. You'll never see him eat. You'll never see him put food in his mouth. If he did drink, it had to
be at a McDonald's all the time.
Anyway,
you would think that maybe they might want to throw that in there if they are selling food, that it might be.
No, I never once saw him. Caught myself. I never saw him talk about, here it is. Let's see. I've got three of them. I'll show you. Here are pictures of when I knew Ronald McDonald. That was Ronald.
Hold it up a little closer. There you go.
Hold it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh.
Look at that.
What a.
You know what? And that is the Ronald McDonald that was of my time. I was born in 75, so.
Wow.
That is.
Well, actually, that would be your time. This is my favorite picture of Ronald McDonald ever. Ever.
Okay.
And that's Ronald in the back of a limo.
There it is.
But so Ronald was really cool. And doing Ronald McDonald's, one would think that the person who did, or that Ronald was a clown.
Uh-huh.
But if you're going to really talk.
Mime.
Well, not a mime.
I'm just kidding.
Not a mime. Stop it. I was a mime, first of all, with Flash in the Pan, which is a comedy troupe here in Rochester for a while. But then, I'm going to last.
Surprised it didn't last.
Yeah.
Flash in a pan, we got a mime.
Well, me being a mime, because, there was a guy Flash, and he's a mime, Pete. But I talked. I got kicked out of the mime hood, because I can't stop talking, you know? So, and then I opened up a place.
No one talks about Mime Club.
No one talks about Mime Club. We used to eat at the Mime and Dine. You know, good food, terrible drive-thru. You can't, you know, never get your food. It was crazy. Ronald is an actor. That's what you have to understand. You can't just be a clown. Ronald is an actor. Ronald, you're portraying a role.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, the girl came back and knocked on the apartment. Who is it? You know, real high voice, because I didn't know. And I said, oh, one second. So I put my beer down and I put this other thing in the ashtray. And and I get all ready to answer the door. And I said, oh, hi. She goes, long day? I said, hellacious. Amazingly long day. Because I used to have to get up at 3. I'm saying all this, but mind you, I haven't spelled anything out. So we're still cool with legality. I'd have to get up at 3 and shave.
Uh-huh.
Because if I were to put anything on my face that could be considered like makeup.
Uh-huh.
It had to wait 2 hours for oils to replenish, so it didn't get sucked into my pores. But try going to sleep when you know you've got to be up for makeup at 5, and going back to sleep after shaving, and every 5 minutes, is it time yet? Is it time yet?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're almost more tired.
Anyway, this morning, I woke up an hour and a half before my alarm was going to go off.
And then it's like catching a flight. Done deal. So then the makeup, 90 minutes of makeup and costume, then now it's back. Then you would do two school shows, either fire prevention, traffic safety, poison prevention was one show, or physical fitness fun, teaching kids about the exercising, warming up, exercising, mm-hmm. and cooling down.
Yeah, I miss that day.
You'd make an appearance at a store, perhaps one or two hospitals. Uh-huh. And when I started, they were allowed to do 5 appearances a day. That's a lot.
Wow. Yeah.
Home, and so I said, I'm exhausted. I said, it's good to see you. Give me a second. I'm going to hop in the shower, and I'll be out in a minute. She went, no. I said, sweetie, I'm... She goes...
She wanted some McLovin.
I want to get McDone. Sorry. And all I can say is, if there was...
Are you trying to tell me that Ronald McDonald might not be a virgin?
McBonin.
Couldn't you have just said Big Mac or something? Why did it have to be McBonin?
I don't know.
He's the worst. Ignore him.
I'm trying to think of something food-related that's as close
McBone
as
out. McBone in. Yeah. McBone out.
Yeah, yeah.
McBone in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love this guy so much. dear God.
This amazes me because, like, you spent a lot of time with it. That was my Ronald McDonald.
Yeah,
I was 6, 7, 8 years old.
Easily.
I love McDonald's. My parents took me there once a week.
Anything from Chicago, south.
You, in theory, entertained me when I was a young
I just
young
got
child.
A picture. I have a picture of a cat that saw me at a company event, and he said, and he sent me the picture, and it's a picture of the two of us. And, oh my gosh. It's incredible. And I said, yeah. I met a bartender once, and she said, you know what, I've got something in my car. And she took out this picture and said, does this look... I said, oh, my gosh, yes. And it was her in the picture, and he was in it with her. It was always him. I think that's what helped develop the different personalities, too, because it was always a him. There was a secret closet mm-hmm. in my house, for uh-huh. real, or in my apartment. So if there was a fly,
over and say, "Don't open that closet." Trust me, it's not what you think, but don't open that closet.
I'd never bring it up, but yeah. We'd never go near that closet. and then it's funny because they go in my bathroom and see all this makeup remover and this and that, and it's like, "No, I'm not a drag queen," but if there was a fly on the ceiling that day in my apartment, uh-huh. I'm sure it would have gotten sick because it was just. I think of the visual.
Was there a voice involved?
So anyway,
Did you keep the voice? Tell the truth. Did he have the voice?
Another time. Another time, Ronald was coming back from a parade, uh-huh. and they had him on the back of the. Train burger,
uh-huh.
but it should have been called the burger train.
Sure,
yeah, but they called it the train burger, which I thought was so silly because I'm scattered. But that shouldn't be. Sense. It's not even the burger train burger. It's not even alphabetized. Get your act together. So I'm waving to people, going back to corporate headquarters, and then I see these girls behind me, and they're young, and I'm fairly young, and. I was young, and they beeped their horn. So I wave, always everything big, bigger than big. And then one of them, so the girl in the middle goes like this and shows me or shows him his chest, her
uh-huh,
chest.
Uh-huh.
Exposed,
uh-huh.
naked.
Uh-huh.
Bammo.
Boom.
Beautiful.
Ronald's a fan.
Barbie Benton.
Ronald enjoyed them.
So
Mr. McDonald.
I looked, and I'm looking, and I just figured, what the heck? And I went, and I get back, and they beep their horn, and then they take off. Get back to corporate headquarters. We need to talk. You've been written up. If anything like that ever happens again, you will lose your responsibility. What are you talking about? The clown that we speak of is androgynous. You don't recognize. And then what they did was maybe not wrong, not right. I said, no, it was right. And they said, no, you can't respond to it. I said, I was already responding to it. And they went, no, I mean, you can't. I said, look, I'm 22. Sorry. I won't do it again, but don't do that to me.
Yeah. And so from now on, whenever girls flashed Ronald, he would just go.
Wave back politely.
Well, is that how he's supposed to do? Like, what do they expect to do?
You ignore it.
It's just a no
like
react.
When Ronald goes down the street for a parade,
uh-huh.
there's always a McDonald's by a Burger King.
Uh-huh.
This is a secret I'm not supposed to give away. when Ronald goes down a parade, when he gets to that area, he will not face the people at McDonald's. He'll face the people at Burger King and wave to them.
Interesting.
Why?
Already got the people at McDonald's.
No, because if you take a picture of me, I'm waving in front of McDonald's.
Oh.
And if I turn around and wave to those people, I'm waving in front of Burger King. And I don't need to wave in front of Burger King.
It makes a lot of
sense.
So
I'll walk past Burger King, and then if it's my choice and I feel like it, I'll take whatever is in my pocket, or he will take it, what's in his pocket, put it on the ground, a cloth, and then get on his knees and bow to the golden arches. You know, to make a joke out of it.
Interesting.
But yeah, there's a. But
it's see, good to teach kids to worship fast food, I think.
It really is. It's always, it's part of the mindset.
This explains a lot, though, because the other day I flashed my tits at you and you didn't react at all, and I was quite hurt.
Remember I said the girls were Barbie Benton?
Yeah.
Okay. Sebastian Cabot. If you don't know, just.
I'm Googling it. It's put old. On the screen.
Okay. One thing that is, again, it's not comedy, but as long as we're learning about each other, there was a lady who called me up, and there was a little boy, God bless him, named Christopher. And Christopher had cancer, and he went to every single one of Ronald's appearances. And one day, I get a phone call, and I knew he was sick. And she said, "Hi, is this so-and-so?" I said, "Yes." She says, "I know who you are. I know I'm putting you in a very uncomfortable position right now, but Christopher is dying. And I want to know if you can come to the hospital and just talk to him. He can't open his eyes, but he'll know who you are." And I had this, it's so funny. Nowadays, I wouldn't think twice. But back then, I was so into being true to my character and whatnot. But I just said,
"Hey, the clown ain't coming to no dying kid's sickbed.
That's it.
Tell him to.
you bring the kid to me.
Tell him if he wants anything, he's going to come buy a Happy Meal like the rest of the little brats."
Well, you talked with Gilbert Gottfried. You sound just like him there when you used to.
You tell those little brats.
So I said, "Of course." And I went down to the hospital and got into character and was there. And again, afterwards, you know. You don't share that. You can't really talk about it on stage, but it's a life-changing thing for me. And he knew I was there, and the parents knew I was there, and that's all that really mattered. And I still have a little, every Christmas time, I wear a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that he gave me, pin. But, you know, but comedy itself, I'm writing out, and it's funny, so if I don't do open mic nights, that means everywhere I go, I have to try something that I could maybe think of a one-liner, and then if I do all these one-liners, then I got to try to put it together as a set. Mm-hmm. You know? And you have to do that when you're out and about, if you're in the mood. But you, at my age now, I can't be that creepy guy that thinks he's funny in the Wegmans line. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you get annoyed. "Hey, I don't, this milk, yeah, it's, you know, so old, it's got a picture of so-and-so on the side of the carton." Well, first of all, no one does that anymore. Second of all, there's not cartons. And three, but that, you know, you're trying to be funny. "Hey, you got something?" Well, there's a fine line between being funny and, at my age, being creepy.
Sure.
And I like creepy. But not that way. I mean, it's funny.
Sure.
Like my old t-shirts. My t-shirts I used to sell after the show. Since,
well, when you say the line, "I like creepy."
Creepy.
Creepy.
Well,
creepy.
My t-shirts used to say "Sky Sans Hands" because it was "Sky Sans Hands perform amazing feats," and so it would have two handprints on it. Uh-huh. Huge with the girls. Sold a lot of t-shirts for the girls after the show. Lots. Well, I can't even give them my old ones. I just found three to my nephew and my niece. "Sky Sans Hands." I'm wearing
with handprints right
with
there.
Two handprints right on it, like that. Not like uh-huh. this. Uh-huh. Like uh-huh. that.
Yeah.
Or uh-huh. yeah, it would be like that for that. Uh-huh. No, it's you can't do that.
Can I get one? I want one of those. Yeah. That'd be really funny to wear.
Well, it would. I don't know if it would fit. I don't know if it would fit.
It's dare you?
Little big.
Do your magic. Sky Sands, I got to tell you something, sir.
Please.
We're hitting about our hour and a half mark, so we got to roll out of here. But I got to tell you, sir, I've been wanting to have you on the show for a very long time. This is a first episode we're going to do together. There will be a second episode.
I look forward to it. I
mean, and we're going to talk some more about lots of other stuff, but
he didn't
have
talk
to,
about us, did he? No.
I have to. Nope. Didn't talk okay. about the other Sky. Bring him next time. I want to remind everybody that you could see the amazing Sky Sands, the great Sandini. Maybe he might bring those hand t-shirts. He might. He's got three left. He might
sell
them
after the
show.
The ones I sell now, if I have any left, are "Bear With Me." Grrr.
Love those ones.
Yeah, if you don't know, you'll find out.
Yeah, come to the show.
You know, can I just say,
Sure.
I'm not going to say anything after that. I'm not going to say anything after that. I have to, because when I say, can I say, I have to say that.
Sure.
All these people, I never knew you were in town, or you're not out about. Tell, post it on your, if you're on Facebook, post Sky's in town. Have you seen this guy? Let's go see him. Tell your friends, tell everyone to share this. The reason why is I'm not in town all that often. It's funny, because in Rochester, if you're a local, you don't get the local time. I do here at the Comedy at the Carlson, but not, it's not the same. You know, I work more out of town, and I headline clubs out of town. It's a treat when I get to do a one-nighter here, because that means I get more time. I don't have to do a confined set.
Absolutely.
I would love for you to come by, see the show. It's Magic, Madness, and Mayhem. It's everything you've wanted to watch a person do on stage, but you wouldn't want them for a roommate. It's a fun show.
And you'll never get your ping pong balls back.
And you'll never see... Right, we said ping pong balls.
Yes.
And there's another punchline to an old joke.
Ah.
So, it was King Kong. But anyway... come to see the show. You'll never see the same show twice, guaranteed.
Absolutely. Sky Sands this weekend. Get your tickets 585-4 comedy.
Are you going to be doing a set before me?
I am not performing in front of you, but I'm going to be there watching.
Oh, I heard
that. I have no idea who your opener is.
I thought it was you, believe it or not.
I didn't. Nobody told me anything.
Okay, well, maybe, you know what?
Well, we know a guy. We might be able to work that out.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Who's probably sitting over there.
A Vinny.
Sky, who would have thunk we'd be pals? I got to tell you, though, you really are one of my favorite people. Thank you for coming and doing the show. See Sky Saturday night.
Overdue.
Ross Johnson, excellent job today. Cam Tiller.
I always thought adequate. That we would be pals.
Always. Day one.
I did.
Did I ever tell you you were, I think you may have been my first or second person I ever hosted for ever? I can't remember if you were my first or second. I'm such a whore.
Did I ever talk to you about the red lifesaver? Who did I There was a new kid that was doing comedy. No, it wasn't you?
No.
No.
Okay, because I always told him, and I felt so silly afterwards, because he said, do you have any advice? It's a great, I can't tell it, we don't have time.
Please do, because you know what? Please do, because okay. I always ask, I always usually end the show by saying, do you have any advice for a new comic?
All right.
So tell the anecdote and we'll get out of here.
Okay, it's 3-1.
Okay.
I'm in New York and I'm playing Dangerfields, and I feel good about it, and I did a fairly good set, and Rodney was on before me doing a guest set.
Okay.
And he did a long set. And
is it really a guest set when it's your club?
I take it back. Thank you for correcting me. It was not Dangerfields. It was Catch.
Okay.
It was Catch a Rising Star. And I'm not into name dropping. And I just told Bobby De Niro the same thing. You don't do that. It's old.
No.
That's old.
I told Sebastian Cabot over here the other day.
So I don't know.
Show the picture on my screen. There he is. That's Sebastian Cabot.
But,
that's all.
Yeah, but if you would have seen
back to Scott.
I saw his chest at the Y. Anyway.
Ew.
It's so funny because the beard never stops. It actually goes from beard to chest.
Just like Brian.
You trim that. So anyway, I'm at Catch, and Rodney does a long set, and he gets off stage, and when I get off stage, no one would listen to me at first. They're all talking, Rodney Dangerfield, Rodney. I said, hey, can I have your attention, please? Please, may I have your attention? It got really quiet. He said, Rodney's not with us anymore. My name is Sky Sands. Good to be here. Rodney, hey, thank you for opening up for me. God, I love this. And I got right into it.
Right.
So I got a bit of a laugh. I said, can we bow our heads in a moment of silent memoriam? And I went, Rodney's not with us anymore. So then I got into it. I get off stage, and as I walk by, and he goes, hey, kid, you got balls. That was my in.
Yeah.
Rodney said something to me first. I can't wait to talk to him. Because now we talked. I want to ask him about some advice. I'm waiting, and this guy's talking to me afterwards about representing me, and he's an agent. Little did I know until mid-talk, he's originally from Syracuse.
Oh, interesting.
He ended up being the agent for the Todd Hoban Band and was an agent at the time for my
buddy. Is he taking new clients?
Paul Stroh. Paul Stroh was his agent.
Oh, interesting.
And so as I'm talking to him, I see a kid come up to Rodney and go, hey, Rodney, I'm new. Do you have any advice for me? And I'm thinking, you little bastard, I was going to say the same thing. And he says, yeah, and I won't say it, but he says, basically, yeah, why don't you go screw yourself? You know, I've had it with you guys that come up and think I owe you a frickin' favor. No, you know, and I put all these years in, and you frickin' want me to frickin' do this? Well, you can suck my, I'll tell you right now. No, go screw yourself. All right, that's what advice I have for you. Leave me alone. So I thought, wow, thank you, whoever you are, buddy, because you just saved me a massive... Years go by. Now I'm working the Tropicana in Atlantic City. My friend says, you want to go down and meet Buddy Hackett? He's at the Sands. I said, sure. We go down. The opener goes up to Buddy Hackett before, and he says, hey, you do the magic stuff. I heard about you. Your friend says you're real good. That's nice. The MC says, hey, Mr. Hackett, I'm new at this business. Can you give me any advice? And my butt tightens up. He said the same thing.
That Rodney said?
That Rodney said, but differently. He said, yeah, always bring your wallet on stage with you. The kid said, no, I mean, he goes, no, the rest is up to you. But just to be safe, bring your wallet on stage with you.
That's really funny.
Which is basically, do what you got to do. Yeah. No, you can't tell someone.
Yeah.
You know, if someone asked me, I said, what's a good thing to do? I don't eat the day of a show. After 1 p.m., I won't eat at all. I don't care at all.
Right.
Before you go on stage, have a red lifesaver.
That's the that's,
no, useless, no, like it's not useless though, because I learned it from Sammy Davis Jr., who I never met, but I heard he did this. You take a red lifesaver, you put it in your mouth, it'll make your tongue nice and red. When you're talking, it looks friendlier, you look healthy. When he's singing, you could see his tongue better. And if you do any face, it'll just make you look friendlier and more welcoming. If you think about it, look at a cartoon, who's laughing? What do they have? A red tongue. It's just something. The rest is up to you.
That's one of those things that's like borderline genius, possibly psychotic.
I work very hard to maintain the gray color that my tongue stays.
Yeah, on. And the slight green tone to your skin.
Yeah.
But like, okay, I can see where you're going. It's very like subliminal kind of a thing. It's very interesting.
Well, I mean, people say, do you have any advice for me? If they say, you know, a lot, like a lot of guys, I like when someone's on stage, like they'll say, like, and I'll say, how did I do? I said, you said like 47 times in 3 minutes because you had a 3 minute set. Well, no, how was my material? I said, I didn't listen to it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. Like the teacher that says, you know. I mean, those are the advice I'll give you. If you're a comic and we're working together and you think you could tighten up a line, but how do you make it in this business? Keep on going on stage. Be nice to other people. Once you think you're good, be careful. Once you think you're great, you're not, because you leave no room to grow. And just work from the heart and do your own material. And don't be so concerned. And that's the hardest part in the world for me, is don't be concerned what other people think, because of course we do. You're supposed to lose your ego, but you're on stage.
You got into this to seek approval, so of course you did.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And... it's like every time I go to use my credit card, you've been approved. I never got that from my mother. And they look at me real strange. But it still gets...
I really like that line. That's hysterical.
Well, it's just... But you want to... Because if you're not laughing... Like I do this one thing with the newspaper. You've seen the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I'll finish it. And it's got some jokes up to it. And some are my jokes. And some are old jokes that just go with the newspaper. And I'm not embarrassed about that. It's funny. Mm-hmm. The newspaper, when it's done... a lot of times, no applause. It's amazing. And I thought, I used to close my show and I thought, what's wrong with you people? And I realized, because they're saying F, letter F, U, dot, 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 when it's happening. They're just going, because they're so amazed at what they just saw that it's not funny.
Right.
So I realized, if you're going to leave with something spiritual or emotional, be prepared not to have a laugh. If you're going to leave funny, but if you're going to leave with a miracle, then you just... But I was wondering, I thought it'd get more applause. It doesn't even get applause sometimes because people are so freaking dazed.
So I would bet you say, I'm Sky Sands, and you get a huge applause break after that, right?
Well, if I say, yeah, folks, I'm Sky Sands, I believe, you know, whatever I say, thank you very much, good night. I may do something different, but yeah, well, of course, when I get done and, you know, and I get if people stand up on their feet, that's nice. It feels good. And yet, Vogue, if I do a show, I mean, I can do a good show. They're not as often as you think. You may have said it was a good show,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it's a good show because I know the mistakes I made.
Sure.
So if I do a great show, I do maybe 5 great shows in a year.
I'm waiting for one.
There you go. I'm just kidding.
You got a couple more months left.
No, bite me. No, so if they do, if I do a great show on the way home, whether I'm in an airport, my car, whatever it is, or if I'm staying, by the time I get back to my hotel room, it's already become a good show, maybe, because I've picked it apart.
You've already destroyed it.
Well, there's so many. It's never. The poster that used to be on my wall in my apartment said, from the School of Performing Arts in New York, to be good is not enough when you dream of being great.
Wow.
But that's why I went backwards with that, because then you have to realize that's cool, but once you think you're great, you're not. You know, because then you get arrogant, and there's no... There was a point when I was Sky, I was the Mick character, I was on billboards for United Way's Volunteer Connection, I was doing some commercials nationally for Kroger supermarkets, mm-hmm. I was doing some voiceover work, and my ego, it got to me, and I really did believe my own press, mm-hmm. and I thought I was all that. And it took a very good friend of mine walking me down Monroe Avenue, reducing me to dirt, making me cry, saying, you're nothing, you're scum, you're dirt, you're... And whether it was true or not, it put me in perspective.
Yeah.
And now everyone's my teacher, for I have something to learn from them.
You see, Brian, I'm providing you a service.
Yeah,
it's not the same, though. It's not the same when you say it every day to the person.
Well, you still haven't gotten it yet.
That would mean that would mean that you're a little slow, Brian.
It's workplace abuse is what it's become.
Then you should
have... He makes a point.
Yeah.
The idiot makes a point. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Brian, you're the best.
Oh, and a gift. I brought you a gift.
You didn't have to bring me a gift.
I brought you a gift. I've got another one, but I have a little figure for you to put behind on your shelf.
Ooh.
And the figure is our friend that we've been talking about.
Sebastian Cabot?
No, our you're right, with Buffy and Jody and Uncle Bill from Family Affair. That's what he was known for.
Okay.
No, I've got a little Mick doll.
But
this is not it. This is what I do when I'm in my hotel room on the road and I'm bored.
Okay.
And this is for you, because it'll look good in your studio. It's a golf ball in a jar that you can't fit a golf ball in. So if you'll pass it over.
I will gladly.
Jewish move. Pass over.
So I know how you do this.
Really, Sensei?
It's magic, folks. It's just pure magic.
Yeah, don't ruin it for everybody if you know.
That's
there
incredible.
You go. It is magic. Someone's, I love when people say that. They come up after a show and go, I know how you did that trick. And everyone knows everything how you did it.
The nice part is this is organic.
It is organic. Someone asked me if I'm a vegan, and I said, I don't know, because I've never talked about it. Well, because I don't eat, I don't.
That's the best lie of the day. I can't believe. Will you sign the top of it for me?
Sure. You know what I was going to do?
So I'm going to pass stuff back and forth.
Yeah, you're not good for anything else.
Wow.
Folks, we're going to get out of here today.
Are you okay? I heard you passed a golf ball.
We'll see you at the show Saturday night. Come see Sky Sands. Cam, hit the credits, and we'll take us out of here, buddy.